The world around us is changing rapidly. Fundraisers and nonprofit marketers like you have to be flexible and innovative to continue to overcome the challenges you face. We're Pursuant, and we're here to provide you with the tools, insights, and strategies you need to get you where you want to go. You're tuned in to the Pursuant Listening Experience. Today, we'll listen to a conversation between Pursuant Vice President Whitney Norman and the newly announced Vice President of Digital, Casey Crawford, as they discuss the ever-changing role that digital plays in the nonprofit world.
Well, I am so excited to be joined by Casey Crawford today. Casey has been truly a transformational leader in the nonprofit digital space for over 20 years now, working for organizations like Sierra Club and Paralyzed Veterans of America, among others. And now I'm personally thrilled because I get to work alongside Casey as she has recently joined the Pursuant team as the Vice President of Digital Strategy and gets to bring all of that goodness and experience and expertise to the clients that we serve here at Pursuant. So, Casey, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Whitney. I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to get this chance to chat with you for a bit.
Yeah, me too. I'll tell you what, I've really been looking forward to this conversation. There has been, I don't have to tell you, there has been so much change and evolution happening in the digital space, certainly at a pretty rapid rate in the last year. I'd love to hear from you what you're most excited about for the coming months, both for our industry and in this new role?
Sure, that's a great question. I mean, there's a lot I'm excited about, to be honest. I think, we're in a time right now where I think what we've learned over the past, 18 months, give or take, is how important digital is, how much technology can really meet us where we are and allow us to stay connected even in something as tough and just really overwhelming as a global pandemic. I think folks that may not have had digital top of mind are now thinking, are now much more aware of the role that it plays in our lives. One of the things I've been really pleasantly surprised by and that I look forward to continuing is just how we're humanizing digital. Digital is much more than technology. And I think, one of the things we've learned is that when you have no other choice, like in the middle of a pandemic, that, you learn how to build relationships on digital. You learn how to be more authentic. You learn about the humans that you're interacting with in these digital spaces. And so to see that space be transformed into a space with a lot of empathy and a lot of just human first interactions, it's been really refreshing because I think in some ways digital has been reduced previously to a very transactional space. Some folks, have always had privacy concerns about digital and, those are still there. But I think what we're learning is that there's just so much opportunity to bring, those very human-centric traits more and more into the digital space and build relationships that are digital first, especially now more than ever.
That is such a good point. And I love the way you talk about creating a more human experience. We always laugh so much internally now about how many Zoom calls we have rather than phone calls and how it's just become so much more of a personal way to engage with individuals, right? You have folks now in your living room and coming into your home for meetings. I think the way that digital has been able to bring us all together in that more human way has been very, very cool to be a part of. I would say to that point, I think we're all kind of experiencing in different ways this sort of rapid growth and evolution in the digital space. Beyond some of those more human experiences, is there anything that has really surprised you about some of these changes?
I think, I'm always surprised at the ongoing conversations, I think, around privacy. I'm always surprised at the direction that those go in. We're facing a lot coming up with privacy. We've been facing privacy concerns online for a long time, but with the Apple changes coming up that everyone's talking about and people are on various sides of that conversation, I think what surprises me the most is how it all does come back to those human experiences. I think we're moving into a space where humans are really controlling the narrative. Humans are really demanding like what they want out of digital experiences. And so I am surprised that that's winning. We have a lot of big tech companies out there and I'm surprised I have been really pleasantly surprised to see Apple pushing in that direction. I, for one, you know, even as a digital marketer, as the human in me, I think this really is our call to double down on the relationships that we're building, on the way we're collecting data, on the relationships we have with our constituents to earn the trust, to make them feel safe enough to share their information, to share their story, to share their interests with us. It really calls us to a higher level of doing our work. And so I've been really surprised by just the various sides of that conversation and how different folks are engaging in the opportunities that that presents. There is still a lot of fear, I think, about folks trying to reinvent their work there, but I'm personally really excited about that. I really look forward to that challenge of, you know, rethinking how we learn about the people we're trying to communicate with, how organizations really learn how to tell their story in new and interesting ways, how brands, you know, nonprofit organization brands are going to have to really like make sure they know their story and they hold true to that, because that's where that trust is going to be built. That's where they're going to be able to like just really reimagine a new engagement online. So I wouldn't, you know, there's a lot that still surprises me, but really it's more like how the conversation is evolving and just what people are doing with it from there. And I'm, you know, excited at Pursuant because I think we have a unique opportunity with our clients to really encourage folks to, you know, there's going to be a lot of focus on first party data. So, you know, learning how to understand how our constituents are behaving and responding. But really, I'm in the zero party data camp. You know, really, it goes back to like, what are we doing to really encourage folks to speak directly to the organizations that they support? What does that two-way conversation look like? What does that trust building look like? So really, I think challenging our clients to think about zero party data, thinking about how we're, you know, really leaning in to understand where our constituents are and how we're really imagining what the well-rounded constituent experience looks like. In the past, constituent experience has been a luxury, a nice to have, but not a must have. And I think we're in that space now where it's not optional, you know, thinking through like what a well-rounded constituent experience looks like, that includes digital and really does need to be digital first. You know, that's an exciting place for organizations to be. You know, nonprofits are not strangers to storytelling. And I think it's a time for nonprofit organizations to really shine and actually teach other industries what it can look like to just tell your story in different ways and to bring your constituents into that space, invite them to be part of the story, acquaint them with their role in the story. And I really am excited about that.
Love that. A couple of things that you hit on, Casey, that resonate so much with me, thinking about creating that meaningful experience to really shape and deepen those points of connection with your constituents. And to your point, to make an experience feel personal and meaningful, it should be informed by the voice of the constituents and the things that matter to them and the things that they care about. And you're absolutely correct that now is the time that we need to start capturing that feedback and asking those questions and inviting individuals to inform that experience so that they do feel more connected to the organizations that they're serving. I love that. I would ask you, as you are thinking about what that experience will look like, you know, oftentimes we talk about meeting your supporters where they are. And we have seen, I don't have to tell you, such an increase in these sort of new platforms and digital trends and people finding ways to use, you know, TikTok and all of these other things. And I know in some case, some of these will be sort of a flash in the pan or kind of a shiny item that is hot for a minute, but maybe doesn't stick around. But we have seen some of these new platforms bring value to organizations in terms of connecting with constituents in new and interesting ways. I'd love to get your take on sort of what things you're finding interesting. What do you think or hope will last with some of these new platforms or trends?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think you're exactly right. And I'm glad you used that phrase. You know, it's easy to get distracted. And I say distracted because the shiny new is always there. There's always something new coming onto the scene. And I think it's really easy to think that you have to be in all the places at all the times. And I think, you know, you're exactly right when you say we want to meet our constituents where they are. And each organization needs to figure out what that is for them. And we, with our clients, you know, that's the great question that we should always be asking ourselves. Where are our constituents? Where are they migrating? Where are the digital spaces that they feel most comfortable interacting? Let's meet them there and let's speak to them in a way that is appropriate for that space. one of the things I really hope sticks around, back before the pandemic, there is a woman who has done a lot of work. She's worked at a lot of big social media companies. She wrote an article for the Harvard Business Review. And I remember right before the pandemic, reading her article. It was at a time when we had started to see a lot of discussion around, you know, these spaces that were being sought out mostly by younger people, gaming communities, a lot of just really interesting online communities that were starting to pop up. And she named them and she called them digital campfires. And I remember thinking at the time, what a great naming that was for that, because that's really what is happening in a lot of those spaces. Little did we know at the time that the pandemic was quickly coming and that immediately that would go from something that was just a conversation starter and kind of something we were naming to really becoming this huge evolution of some of these communities, especially within gaming platforms like Twitch. I know my daughter is playing in an environment called Roblox, and it's really interesting to watch what's happening there, because I think it's where people are saying, I want community. I want to go online to have it. I want to have community that's built on something I care about. I want to follow my interests and meet the people that intersect there with my interests more so than I think traditional social media. People go there for a myriad of reasons. And I think initially it started for those same reasons, but to watch the flocking of people to these really intentional online communities that are really largely interest-based, they're really more focused on the community side than they are, you know, saturated with a lot of the things that we see in traditional social media. I hope that stays. And I hope that we're able to leverage that in our organizations, not in an exploitative way, but in a way that we really learn about what makes those communities work, what makes them so valuable, what makes people crave that, what makes people stick around. Because I think those are questions that we ask about our constituents anyway, but seeing these new communities really build organically and have that layer of authenticity and the high engagement and interactivity and the friendships and the relationships being formed there, I think are really interesting. And, you know, right now, a lot of it is saturated in places like the gaming community, but I think there's so many other applications of it. I'm seeing micro communities pop up in even some of my own interest areas. And it's been really fascinating to be a part of that and just watch that evolution. And so I want to keep my eyes on that. I'm very hopeful that it sticks around. I hope it really invites us to rethink the way we're creating our communities. I think it invites nonprofits into the way that they're really thinking about their organic social communities. You know, we as marketers, we do a lot in social media, we do a lot in the digital space, but I think those organic communities really lend themselves to understanding, leaning in, listening, learning, probing, questioning, really starting to learn, you know, again, back to the zero party data, those preferences and learning what those are so that we can honor them. So that the next time we send an email, we're honoring the person on the other side of the email. We know how we met them. We know what they're about. We know what they care about. And it all comes full circle, really thinking about what it means to build, you know, full circle constituent relationships. So yeah, these digital campfire communities are rapidly growing and I really hope they continue.
I love that. Campfire communities. It's such a perfect phrase for what it is and how it brings people together. It's such an interesting concept too, because in the last year, I think everybody was searching to find the sense of community when they couldn't be together in person. And to your point, the rise of some of these platforms and opportunities to connect with each other at a distance lends itself well to building those points of connection and community and shared interests in new ways.
For sure. And I think the other thing I would add to that, I meant to mention this before too. I think the other thing that I would add to that, in addition to the building the community, I think, you know, one other thing that I think is going to be important that I hope is not just a flash in the pan is, you know, nonprofit organizations especially, but really any organization realizing how important content is and how important it is to think very strategically about content and to use your words and to use your images and to use your, you know, some, I think content has been a misunderstood aspect of marketing in general for a long time. And a lot of things get lumped into content, but I think really understanding the power of content, that is the strong storytelling vehicle. And I think, you know, gone are the days where what image we use on an ad or in an email, you know, those things cannot be afterthoughts anymore. Those are part of our story. And so visually, verbally, like how are we really leveraging content to tell the story? Because constituents are being much more discerning in the stories that resonate with them. You know, folks are looking for that emotional connection, building out of that authentic community space. Folks are expecting that same engagement with the organizations that they're supporting. And so we really need to think through the role that our content plays in that. And so that's another area I'm really excited about, you know, specifically at Pursuant. I think it's an area I'm looking forward to growing at the agency and really thinking about what our digital content strategy, digital content marketing offerings are going to be. And so I'm excited to share more in the coming months, hopefully.
Yeah, that's such an important point to make, especially in the digital space where you may only have a second to capture somebody's attention or interest. Ensuring that there is a message there or an image that's going to resonate with the person seeing it makes all the difference between somebody clicking through or, you know, swiping to the next ad. It's a really great point. So speaking of thinking through our storytelling and our content, before we wrap, I do have one more question that I'd like to ask you, Casey, just to give our listeners a nice little takeaway. Many of the organizations that we partner with, and I'm sure sort of across the nonprofit space, are really working right now to ramp up their plans for Giving Tuesday and for calendar year-end efforts. And certainly there will be a lot of digital elements going into all of those strategic discussions and plans. What advice would you offer those organizations as they're starting to build out the strategy headed into calendar year-end?
That is such a good question, Whitney. And I think it's something we should all be asking. Having recently been on the nonprofit side, I think it was a question that I asked myself every chance that I got, which is, you know, what sets us apart? What is unique about our story? You know, the clients that we serve, they're all nonprofit organizations. Year-end and Giving Tuesday is a very busy time where every organization is clamoring for a share of voice, a share of the wallet, a share of the attention. And I think the best advice that I can give organizations going into this time is to know your story and be true to it. It's going to be very easy to want to try all the latest and greatest. And I'm not suggesting we don't test and optimize and things like that. But I think in such a busy time, it's really important to differentiate yourself. It's really important to know what your unique story is. Why should your supporters care? And even supporters who have been with you for a long time, reminding them of that is always important. So really drilling down into your unique organization story and how can constituents see themselves in it? Where do they plug into it? How can they help? How does their contribution make a difference? And just really telling that story well and really letting the story speak for itself. You know, I'm always a big fan of testing and optimization, so I believe in that. But I also believe that in a time such as calendar year end and Giving Tuesday, stick with what you know. And just really be true to who you as an organization are. Because at that time, that's what's going to set you apart. That's what's going to remind your current donors. That's what's going to engage new people to your mission. And so that's the best advice I can possibly give. And, you know, I know that's something I'm going to be working with our Pursuant clients on, are what are the gems within an organization's story that maybe we haven't told as well? Where are the opportunities to tell it better, tell it differently, invite people more into it? I think we assume sometimes that folks that have been following the organization for a while automatically know what we're all about. And anytime we can reiterate our values, our story, it just invites people into a deeper relationship with us.
Excellent. I love that, Casey. Thank you so much. And I know that there are going to be a lot of really great takeaways and tidbits that'll come out of this conversation that hopefully our listeners are able to activate and bring into their own shops. Casey, if folks do have any questions or want to talk about how some of the things that you've experienced and advanced in your own career may be able to help support or inform some of the great things they're doing. Is there a way that people can follow up with you, Casey, to get more information?
Absolutely. I would invite people to email me anytime. My email address is kacey.crawford@pursuant.com. Again, that's Casey, kacey.crawford, crawford, at pursuant.com. I'm glad to respond to any and all emails that come in and would welcome just opening up a conversation for those that are interested in learning more about how to push your digital programs, learning more about how to engage in the space. And I look forward to talking further.
Fantastic. Casey, thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to getting to work with you much, much more in the days to come. and invite anybody, if they are looking for more information on digital and how it can help build out your program, please don't hesitate to check out our resources on Pursuant.com. And we look forward to chatting with you all again. Thanks, Casey. Have a great day.
Thanks, Whitney. You too.